Hey, this is Rob Liefeld, and you're listening to Matt, Ian, and Paul on the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 369 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Do you think that we say we've had, three other cracks at the 69 in the 7 or 8 years that we've done this podcast? Do you think we introduced those episodes the same way?
I don't.
We skipped it this time because anytime I hear 69, Bill and Ted, 69 dudes, like even before I knew
what. Do you
think
that's
Paul didn't
that
skip it just now?
Well, he made it gross, but he didn't do the exact thing that
we normally do.
But I don't know if we did it for 100 and 200. But yeah, I mean, I'm sorry my excitement bled through for.
Did we do regular 69?
369.
For. The 69th episode?
Maybe we matured over the years. Maybe by 269, we're like, this old shit. You know,
we were just like, 69.
That's right.
could be.
So it is episode 369 coming at you for April 27th, Tuesday, April 27th. Changing it up on you a little bit. Did you see how I said that with a UMM?
I did see it, yeah.
Did you hear it?
I heard it too.
What we're going to talk about tonight, and maybe we're just setting ourselves up for just a sex-laced episode.
Ugh.
But we're going to talk a little about the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe mini comics collection because I just finished it. And then we're going to talk about the Falcon and Winter Soldier finale, the entire series. And then we're going to talk about everyone's favorite movie of the past weekend. Mortal Kombat. But before we, I was gonna say something like before we step into this.
Before, mommy.
I was gonna say something like before we step into the squared circle, but I don't even know what the fuck they step into in Mortal Kombat. Before we step onto the
before we travel to Outworld to do battle,
they step onto a horizontal line.
Before we 69,
get over here. We do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
McSauce.com, not McSauce69.com.
Wouldn't it be the worst if they did 69 rounds in Mortal Kombat? So many rounds.
The worst or the best? It would be pretty cool.
What do they call it? Best of 69?
What a bunch of ground and pound. So if you like jokes like that, you can hear more, and you do because you've listened to this many episodes. Go to our website, check out our drawn and written humor, check out our audio hijinks on the podcast. You can hear us on Podomatic and Spotify and Podbean and radio.com and Odyssey, everything. I guarantee you, just type in McSauce and you can hear our lovely voices. We also have a Patreon. Go to our Patreon. We still owe you guys a trilogy of Transformer the Movie episodes that I promise will be coming out fairly soon.
fairly. That's called a soft promise in the business.
the damn producer hasn't been helping me out very much lately. So I promise you that if you wanted to hear me and Paul get drunk and talk about Transformers the Movie, it's coming at you very soon. We also have t-shirts on TeePublic, so go there and you can check out a variety of McSauce wares. One of them, near and dear to my heart, Theater Justice, because we almost had to explore Theater Justice this weekend the return to the theater, baby. Me and my wife went back to the theater and there were some kids fucking yapping a little bit.
Did you? Well, we'll get into it.
We won't get into it, but...
We won't?
Not right now.
Oh,
later on. Okay. Whenever we do the segment.
I was worried that we weren't going to hear the story. I was like, what?
This is what we're here. This is what we call tease.
How long have you been doing this?
A tease in the biz. So, well, I'll tell my story about my triumphant return to the theaters.
I picture you walking to the end of Jabba's skiff, doing a flip off of it and landing in your seat, returning to the theater.
Tracy threw popcorn like the whole.
And in midair, you caught it and crammed it in your mouth.
And, yeah, and I started taking kids out with popcorn. Da-na-na. You were down a couple sections away, like I can't see.
So, check out the Tee Public Store. There are evergreen shirts in there, and there are also shirts like Mixostober.
Some orange ones, pink ones, not just green ones.
Yeah, any color you could really want. And Halloween is coming. I just saw that
Halloween is coming.
AMC.
This is Halloween.
Wait a minute. What month is this? What are you talking about?
You wear it so terrible at promotion. By the time Halloween comes around, we're going to forget to say this. So let's just say it now. Order your Halloween McSauce t-shirt right now.
In April.
I just saw on AMC, it is halfway to Halloween.
Yeah, it is.
This coming weekend.
What fucking posers? Get out of here with the halfway to Halloween.
They like promoting that horror, and I am all about it. Ugh. If you're promoting horror, you're a friend of mine.
Keep it in your horror pants.
Coming from the guy that canceled his Shudder account. Shame.
Did you really? Oh, well, that's money. And it was being spirited away from his wallet.
$4
I watched.
Oh, no.
Hey, I paid for
Spirited
Away. How
will I pay for my coffin?
Are you done with housekeeping?
I'm all done. The house is kept.
So I wanted to talk real quick about this tome that I just finished over the weekend.
Let the listeners hear how big it is.
I hope you all heard that. And now there's a crack in my foundation. It is the complete He-Man and the Masters of the Universe mini comics collection. And it is a heavy book. It's not like huge, but it's thick, and all the pages are on like a 100-pound cover. It's so heavy to lift. I got a workout while I was reading all these comics. And
the book turns you into a master of the universe.
It comes with a fabric bookmark.
Oh, it's a very well-produced book, except those couple pages that are like kind of folded into each other.
That's a Dark Horse thing. Of all of the graphic novel publishers that I've run into, Dark Horse has consistently bad binding,
what
bad
was it
glue.
Printed out of curiosity?
What's it printed on?
Where was it printed?
Oh,
it'd be printed. on the like inside, I think. So riveting for the listeners, I'm sure.
That like is it Asia? Milwaukee.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. That explains
it. Wait. Milwaukee, O.R.?
Oregon?
No. Canada?
Milwaukee, O.R.?
Yeah. Like M-I-L-W-A-U-K-I-E.
What's O-R?
It's Canada, right? Isn't it? Is it?
No.
No?
No. It has to be Milwaukee, Oregon.
Oregon,
Dark Horse is out of Portland.
Huh. Oregon. Huh.
Yeah.
Geography. Spelling.
There you go. Anyhow, let's...
Why'd you ask that? Did you think it was a foreign land?
I was... For some reason, I thought it was going to be Canada, and then I thought we could maybe take a shot at Canada.
Blame Canada.
Yeah,
why are you stepping into the show already ready to take shots at Canada?
I don't know. Why not?
I mean,
they're notorious poor printers.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that. But why hit them when they're
their glue is made out of maple syrup?
That's right.
That's why it's so shitty. All my Hellboy books have fallen apart because why? Maple syrup glue. Fucking Canadians.
but they taste delicious.
I know. I start licking the seams.
Yeah, you've told me that before about the Hellboy books, and like now, like I'm afraid to get all those BPRDs off of my shelf. But besides a couple, you know, pages glued into each other or into themselves, this is a very dense book, and it's a very dense book for children. Like a lot of the artwork is the draw.
It's demonic.
Well, yeah, like all the Master's characters are kind of scary, but like the draw for us adult He-Man fans is looking at all the artwork, seeing some very early Bruce Timm art, seeing some Mark Teixeira art. But all the stories, man, when you read this, when you try to read this thing and like start to finish, it's the same story over and over with like just different characters plugged in. The funnest thing is you realize at some point, like Skeletor isn't really evil. He's just trying to be a dick. He's just trying to make people unhappy. He's not really trying to take over Eternia. At some point, he like changes to wanting to be the master of the universe. But a lot of those stories in there, he just wants to like ruin the party at Eternia Palace. But it's a long read. All the She-Ra stories are in there. The Space He-Man, the New Adventures are in there. And those are brutal because they try to take you from the He-Man we know and make a smooth transition as to why these characters are now in space. But they jettison everything else. They don't use any other characters except this new look He-Man and this new look Skeletor. And I want to be like, just don't even bother if like you're just going to fuck everything else. Just reboot it. Just reboot it in space.
Yeah, and like the He-Man character and the Skeletor character really don't look similar at all to the characters that we've known before. And even though He-Man has a lot of sci-fi elements, taking him explicitly into space really is shocking and very jarring. But yeah, reading these books back to back to back to back instead of the way that you would read them whenever you got a new character,
It's very
stark how the first couple pages almost always are like, well, He-Man, you know, you're the most powerful man in the universe. It's old school comic book writing because you're treating everybody like this is the first time that they're encountering He-Man and learning about the world. And to its credit, a lot of the times maybe it was somebody's first time reading a He-Man comic book.
The very beginning is kind of neat because it's not the Filmation story that we know. He-Man's just a tough guy from a village that has really good morals. He's kind of just like a barbarian that the sorceress bestows, you know, an invincibility chest plate on and a separate one that gives him super strength. So, like, he can't have invincibility and super strength at the same time. Like, there's some really weird stuff in those first so many issues because the writers, like, were just given action figures and was like, no one knows anything about these guys.
It's like they
make a story.
Brainstorming their ideas on the page.
Yeah, and the further you go, the further it kind of, you know, dovetails with the Filmation cartoon. But, yeah, like, a lot of the really early stuff is neat. And there's a few of the stories in the very back are ones by Robert Kirkman of Invincible fame.
Oh, you know, eat that right up.
And it's from that 2000X line that they did. And, like, those stories are more modern. They're for a little bit more mature audience. So, like, the artwork is more modern. So, like, I really enjoyed those. But a lot of the stuff in the middle, and I wanted to, and you know, you guys know me, I'm nothing if not a completionist. If I start something, I have to finish it. And I think I texted you a couple weeks ago. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I think I might just, like, drop this after the She-Ra stuff because... And you were like, yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, because I skipped all that shit.
You were like, you're wasting your life. Why would you do this? But I soldiered through. I read everything. And, like, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I have this knowledge because, you know, I've talked with people on Twitter about He-Man. And they'll be like, oh, I love, you know, like, this character. I'm like, who the fuck is this character? And now I'm like,
Oh, I know. He's from that shitty fucking space
this
He-Man.
This is some like weird ass, you know, bonkers, the mini comics thing. Do you guys remember the mini comics?
Yes.
When you were a kid?
Barely.
See, that's funny because I remember them explicitly because I probably, it was one of the first things that I collected. And I remember having a tribute to how spoiled I was and how many He-Man figures my parents bought. I probably had a stack of He-Man comics as thick as this book wrapped together with, it was either string or a gum band or something like that.
Gum band for our...
Oh, yeah, you know where I fucking live. I live downtown, you pieces of shit. So a rubber band around my comic books. But I had them all. I saved them all. I kept them all.
Do you still have
I don't
them?
Have them. They're probably at my parents' house
okay.
somewhere. But I did have them all up until the point I remember, whenever I started collecting real comic books. But that was the first thing that I kept, and I reread those books all the time. So yeah. I remember them very clearly. And I remember to the point even I recognized when I was a kid, I was like, hey, this book comes with two different figures. Like I have Modulok, like the origin of Modulok comes with like Fisto as well.
Yeah.
And I could recognize that, oh, well, they just wrote a couple of these stories and they included a couple of these heroes.
You just had to bring up Fisto in episode 369, didn't you?
Well, I mean, if you're fisting during a 69, are you doing it right?
And then I was like, but Tongue Lasher also is in this. Oh,
boy, he sure is. I was talking with Jody.
And don't even get me started on Ram Man, okay?
man, that one was just laying there for you to scoop up and dunk.
I know.
I was talking with our buddy Jody Yearden from the defunct That Old Comic Smell podcast. And he was like, yeah, I had, you know, all those mini comics. Like, I read them all. Like, that's a big part of the reason why, like, I have a love of comic books and I still get comic books. And like, I'm reading through those, and none of those even look familiar.
That's crazy.
To me.
Not even the early ones that you, you definitely yes. had a bunch of the early ones.
I'm sure that I had, I had so many fucking He-Man figures. I'm sure I had a ton of those, but...
But you didn't get the comics because you didn't steal those, too. You just stole the figures.
No,
that's
I
right.
actually
yeah.
had, like, I stole a bunch, but when I stole them, I already had a lot of them.
You just doubled up?
Matt, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. On my deathbed, I'm going to whisper, Neil, I'm sorry. But yeah, like, I'm reading through this, and I'm like, none of these.
Instead of Rosebud, you're going to be like, Panther.
I wonder what that meant.
I
remember all
these, and I'm like, I must have opened these figures and fucking chucked the books because, like, none of this even seemed familiar with me. Like, last year I went through all of the Marvel Transformers comics, and as I was reading them, all the ones from, you know, like 84, and as I was reading them, I'd hit certain issues and be like, oh, I remember this. I had this one. You know, like, I had this. None of this He-Man stuff.
I know for a fact that this one, The Ordeal of Manny Faces, I had three of these. I remember having a bunch of these ones. I remember these, like, very, very clearly because I feel like I recently, like, within the past, I don't know, maybe 15 years, somewhere I had them in a house or at my parents, and I reread them. But this weird one, Slave City, that He-Man fights these big purple monster guys. I remember this. This was kind of traumatizing, this image of He-Man bound and chained and getting his hair pulled. Very traumatizing.
I remember a couple of the children's books that had really cool, like, painted covers.
Mm-hmm. I had those,
and
too.
And disappointing interiors.
One of the read-along books with the records is in there, it's the art by Bruce Timm. And it looks fucking awesome. And that I remembered. But all of the mini comic stuff, I was like, Yeah, like, I love all this, you know, podcast, audio medium, clearly. But all this Bruce Timm, like, record artwork.
Yeah, it's pretty great stuff.
Pretty fucking slick.
Yep. And also in this book, if anybody's interested out there, there are a bunch of interviews woven throughout the mini comics of the creators of the mini comics and what they thought about their careers at the time and what they think now about Masters of the Universe. And it's funny because some of the guys are like, yeah, you know, we just made some shit up and it was fun. And then other guys are a little bit more thoughtful.
Yeah. And like a lot of those interviews are like, well, can you tell us a funny story about working on the mini comics? And they're like, no.
It was just a job.
And then they go to the other question, and I'm like, was there an editor on this book that, like, because there's a lot of stuff in there that, like, don't ask that question if the answer is, like, no.
Or cut the question out of the interview.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then there's, like, there is other stuff where it is just, like, do you remember working on this? No, it was just churn and burn. It was just a job. We needed money, and, you know, I got hired. I did this, and then I was on other stuff in a week.
The guy that... Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you can buy this book on Amazon still for $18.69. I feel like that's a steal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely a steal. It's such a cool book. The art in it is great. Like, I love all this old He-Man artwork. I love the discrepancies and some of the stories between the toy prototypes and what was actually finished. Like, it's a really neat book, but it's a hard read as a 42-year-old man reading stories made for 8-year-olds because they're all like the same note over and over and over again. But if you're a comic book fan and if you're a He-Man fan, I highly recommend getting this book just to flip through, you know, read some pages, read some of the interviews. It's pretty neat. And while I can tell you I did not need to read this start to finish, it's a cool read. And if you can get it for under $20, do it.
Are you going to purchase it?
I'm not going to purchase it.
Resounding.
Ian was kind enough to let me borrow it.
Yes,
I'm not going to purchase it.
I would say go out there for $20 if you are a fan, buy it just so you can read some of the interviews. They're really, really cool, really eye opening with, you know, once again, a lot of creators that went on to do some pretty great things. Bruce Timm probably heads that list up. But yeah, really cool stuff. So
Matt, why don't you tell us what you thought about the Falcon and Winter Soldier finale?
Didn't watch it.
Matt, how many full episodes of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier did you watch?
5.
You made it that far?
Mm-hmm.
Matt, there's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, fuck that
you
show.
You couldn't give 51 more minutes.
No.
Wow.
They stole way too much of my life with an insanely subpar, objectively bad show. So no, they do not get 51 more minutes.
See, what's funny is I felt like it got much better as it went on. It sounds like you did not feel that way.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it the more it went on. Now, not to spoil the finale, there are things about the finale that I thought were pretty stupid and hokey. But I felt that I like this.
Spoil away, I don't care.
I mean, just, I'm sure you've seen the costume. It looks terrible. Is it comic book?
I assume Sam becomes Captain America?
Yes, he does. He becomes Captain America. And the Captain America suit that he wears is the one from, you know, probably, I guess, at this point, maybe 7 years ago that they introduced. And I think he's wearing it currently. It's just a bad design. I don't think it looks all that great. I don't like that either.
It was like
it looks like he's a Power Ranger. It's really strange.
Like it was too white or something.
It was
like,
too white.
Like it was too bright.
I mean, aesthetically it was too white.
Yeah, like I love its comic accuracy. I love that, you know, they're not like, well, this needs to be like, you know, super utilitarian, and I'm glad they didn't break it down. Like, cause I was kind of disappointed with Wanda's final costume because it had that sense of, well, we need to really over design this to be what it would be like in the real world. And I'm like, no, like real world would be that fucking Halloween costume she was wearing. Like, just tweak that a little bit and it's fine. But I appreciate that this costume was like right out of the comics. But in this instance, I'm like, maybe right out of the comics needs a little more work.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love it.
It's fine to me.
I don't know. It looked goofy. It just did. And maybe it was the fact that towards the end of the episode, he's having this big, long dialogue with the people from the GRC. And maybe that was also what kind of... I don't know. My first reaction when I saw it was, I think that looks kind of goofy.
Did you like the U.S. agent costume?
Yes, because that looked exactly like out of the comic book. I know we just said one is bad and the other is not good.
Some
but
can work and some can't. That's
I thought it okay. was like I even think that the way that so they introduced the black U.S. agent costume at the end of this, which is you know comic book accurate, and it doesn't have the wings. I don't think you can do wings on
so,
a helmet.
Oh, so John Walker. Becomes U.S. agent.
Becomes U.S. agent. Elaine from Seinfeld even calls him U.S. agent.
And so he didn't, like, go to jail or anything like
he
that?
He didn't. And that's something that I would have a gripe with. So towards the end of the episode, he shows up to, you know, kind of stop the Flag Smashers or whatever those fucking useless villains were called. And he kind of helps... He helps the good guys out and has sort of like a triumphant moment. I'm like, that goes against all of this character's development. Like, that's pretty fucking stupid. He should be a bad guy. I don't know why we're trying to save him after we did a lot to take him down a certain path.
Why did they have to make him, like, evil in the first place? Couldn't he just be a failed version of Captain America?
I think they pushed his... craziness too hard.
Isn't that what U.S. Agent is, though? Is
I
like
don't know
a bad Captain America?
U.S. Agent
a failed
in the
Captain America, not a bad... Not
I thought he was a bad one.
Like a bad guy?
Yes, I thought he eventually was sort of like a bad guy.
I'm certainly no expert. I never knew that to be the case. I always thought he was just not a very good at his job, Captain America.
I thought he was crazy and
like
bad.
I always thought that the point was that... you can't just put anybody in, you know, behind the shield. The person behind the shield is what counts, and he proved that. So I don't know.
I think they went wrong trying. Like to start, he is a good guy with just a different idea of justice from what Sam and Bucky want. Because he's really aligned with the military. He's, you know, a yes man. Like, he's going to do the job. He's going to do the job that he's told. But then he starts to go fucking crazy. And by that point, then you're like, oh, this guy's off the fucking rails. And I'm like, why is this guy's wife even with him? Like, and, like, I thought that, like, just, they. I think if they would have left her out, it would have given less of an excuse to make him grounded and likable. Because, like... In all of the scenes his wife is in, she's very, like normal and rational, and, like, she's really there for him. And I'm like, well...
I don't think that they needed to make him likable. I thought it was a good idea to highlight, to Matt's point, that it is, like, the person behind... It's not that, you know, the military or America made Captain America.
Yeah.
It's the person...
And that was part of my problem with the wife, is that it kind of grounds him more sympathetically as a normal person that someone can actually love, and he's still good. But he's, like, either make him crazy... I think if they didn't make him crazy, like, if they just made him just flip out because they killed his boy... And he thought that was just, well, this is just what I needed to do. But the whole time he's like squeezing his fist and he seems real agitated, like he's on, like the super serum is doing something to his brain.
Right.
But like I would have preferred him to just take the serum. It just makes him strong, but he's still going for like uber justice. instead of like, well, he did it because he was kind of crazy, so we're trying to walk this weird line of sympathetic character or not.
I didn't think that it was the super serum that made him like that. Like, he clearly was sort of a dickhead the entire series.
He was
like, I don't think he was likable at all.
He was kind of a prick, but he even has a talk with, you know, Battlestar about how it doesn't just affect your body, like it makes you like more of the person, alluding to that it does have a mental effect.
Right, like your truer self.
Yeah. Hmm. And like so like but I think I don't think that was necessary. I think he could have been just differently aligned to Falcon and Bucky and just been a fucking dick. That's okay. I don't think, like, I found that they didn't walk the right sympathetic line with him.
See, I thought that, you know, I don't know. I didn't think he was sympathetic at all until he saved the truck of people and made the choice between going after Emphas Nest and and saving the people in the truck. Like,
you mean Kylie Minogue?
Like, that character, what you've told me about that character, he doesn't give a fuck about those people. He's going to go kill that girl.
Right,
but
and that's like
for the sake of giving him a heroic,
and that's all
sympathetic
after he
moment,
takes that
moment.
Super soldier serum is when he's just like the beeline for like murder justice.
But then he switches. Like, if it always is supposed to affect him, it's just
right.
It's inconsistent
then,
and
then
stupid.
He saves the people.
He also became a liar when he was lying to Battlestar's family about, I killed the man that killed your son. No, Emphas Nest killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh, by the way, can we not put her in anything
anymore?
Can
we give her a different kind of role? You
right?
know what I mean? Like, that's what sucked.
I didn't think he
besides
was...
Besides the fact that the Flag Smashers, in totality, were fucking boring and sucked.
Holy
so,
crap.
I think he was outright lying to Battlestar's family, but I think it was because he was justifying to himself what he had done to that guy, knowing that he wasn't the guy responsible for that. And it was highlighted by the dialogue from the mom who's like, hey, at least you got the person that did this. And I think that
so
was
then,
a bit of internal turmoil in him that he didn't.
So then why didn't he
this.
Directly go after Emphas Nest whenever she was sitting there?
That's what I'm saying. I think they
it's
didn't.
A, it's
they
a bad
didn't
job.
Handle,
the super
I, they,
soldier
they didn't handle this character
wearing
well.
Off.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. So that was stupid. I did kind of like the combination of Falcon's Cap powers and his Falcon powers all at the same time. I thought that was kind of fun.
Oh, did he get the serum?
No, I mean, like, he just had the... He didn't get the serum, so he's just a normal dude still. But he taught himself how to throw the shield, which seems like that's pretty intense for a normal person.
Well, even normal John Walker threw the shield great.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently regular people can do it just as well.
Well, there was
Super
a whole
Soldier
training
Captain
montage
America.
With
well, that
with
explains
Sam,
it.
So,
and we know John Walker's past. He's, you know, this highly decorated
really
hero.
Yeah, but he gets his ass kicked all the time, even as a super soldier. Untrained fucking Emphas Nest soldiers beat him up.
But he's really good at that shield.
I guess so.
And Sam gets really good at that shield. Really good.
He does too, but he can use the shield in combination with the wings and... he's got two new red wings, a lot of fancy powers. I was there for that. That was fun. I don't know, Matt. I guess you don't care. So the twist...
Who could possibly care?
So the twist that Sharon Carter is the power broker, I thought that was kind of cool. Let's make a... Can we make some ladies bad? Is that okay? Can
we
do that?
Two of them.
Yeah, we got Elaine, and
we got Veep and
Sharon Carter.
I can't remember the name of that show.
Revenge. Yeah. So
we got Veep and Revenge, the bad guys.
So she's a bad guy. Cool.
I was real kind of bummed. Like, I get that the government kind of like shit on her after all that stuff. So she was just like, fuck it. But like, I wanted her to be like, you know, comic book shield hero Agent Carter.
And maybe
now,
she still is.
She's...
Maybe at the end when she was talking on the phone and she was like, oh, I got everything I wanted, blah, blah, blah. Maybe she was talking to fucking Nick Fury.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she's just playing, you know, like triple sides, you know, work in the room.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. I Matt, you were unentertained by the series as a whole. I felt for me, I got more invested as it went on. Didn't like the Flag Smashers. They could cut all of that out. I thought the dynamic between John Walker, Winter Soldier, Falcon, and having some Baron Zemo in there, I think that was all interesting enough, because I think that in the future they're going to splinter off, and I could see Baron Zemo being you know, the leader of the Thunderbolts, and you could probably fold in some U.S. agents, some other maybe gray area or straight up bad guy characters into a Thunderbolts, and maybe have them go against Winter Soldier, New Captain America, and some other ragtag ground level heroes. So I don't know. I thought it left us in an interesting place where, to me, I was like, great, man. Like, let's do Captain America 4, or give me Captain America and the White Wolf. Like, I'll take a second series of this, but you were out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... I couldn't... Because I had heard through various text threads and stuff how it definitely gets better as it goes. It really picks up. And it just didn't. And I binged on it. So, I mean, like, I watched it back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astounded at how it didn't progress in any meaningful way. The only aspect that I thought was interesting was John Walker's story. I thought that was the most interesting part. You know, finding this new Captain America that obviously is not Steve Rogers. I don't think I could have possibly been more bored with the Winter Soldier storyline. I think I'm astounded at how uninteresting it was.
Yeah.
And Sam Wilson's story was a sliver more interesting. It was not good. It was not a good show. Like, for being a landmark marquee title on Disney Plus, and this is what you come with like piss poor villains, no significant drama that draws you in any way. The most interesting aspect is like kind of a bit of a throwaway character in John Walker.
I would disagree about Sam Wilson's story a lot. I think that the internal conflict and the external conflict too, which I think is also interesting, of being given a shield, you know, African-American being given the shield, and him grappling with, like, people are going to fucking hate this. Not just the people that I expect, but some of the people that I love and care about are going to think that I turn my back on them because I am now this face, this symbol of something that maybe they're not down with. And the Isaiah Bradley, them folding that part of the story into it, and him really giving a stark, like, you shouldn't be Captain America, like, because that's not for us. That part, and maybe that stuff resonates with me maybe more than it does with you guys. But
don't you think that would resonate with us?
I don't know. Take a guess. But I thought that all of that stuff was really, really interesting. And it was the kind of stuff that I was surprised that a Disney show would grapple with all of that stuff.
Yeah,
I can see how it could, you know, maybe not resonate, but I liked it.
Ian, totally makes sense that it's going to affect you differently than me or Paul. I think I agree. I thought Disney did it pretty tastefully too, and didn't like get overly political or anything like that with its messaging, which I can appreciate. You know, kind of keeping it in the fantasy. I don't know. Like, at the end of Endgame, for me, it's like Cap said, here's the shield, you're Captain America now. And maybe I would have preferred it if it would have just jumped right into it. I mean, I get the inner turmoil, but, like, the way it was executed with, like, who could possibly care if the boat gets fixed and is sailable? Like, what?
See, but that was this fun as fucking shit. Mm-hmm. I loved all that boat stuff. Oh, I was like, give me a second season of fucking Sam and Bucky on the high seas.
Yeah, I liked
and,
all the...
And Captain Ron's son.
Yeah, like, I didn't think... So, like, I like the setup for the should Sam be Captain America and, you know, like, his internal struggle with taking on this mantle. But now I'm kind of more interested in, well, now you are. And now you have to deal with it. So, like, now, like, I kind of want, all right, well, now how is he going to deal with this? Because at this point, it was pretty much, you know, his sister being like, yeah, just go fucking do it. And Isaiah Bradley being like, don't you fucking dare. Mm-hmm. And it's just too, it's a very, you know, intimate, like, circle that he had to deal with this in. Even with Bucky just telling him, yeah, just go fucking do it. And then understanding, like,
you don't want to do it because of what that would mean for
right.
a
so,
lot
like,
of
like, it's a very tight circle that doesn't really get why he's conflicted about it and is pushing him in different directions. But now that he's out, I think this could really be a cool take on where he goes next because now he is Captain America. Well, now you're Captain America's black. Now what? And yeah, now I think I'm a little more invested in, like, this story because it's a... I mean, I'm sure they've done this take in comics. I haven't read it, but now, like, I'm ready. Let's go. But I loved all the fucking Bucky stuff in this. Just give me a fucking Bucky series.
Yeah, I like the Bucky stuff. What I did have to deal with was...
I love
was,
a handsome, brooding hero.
What I did have to deal with was my wife discovering that she really likes Sebastian Stan with a haircut.
Me too.
Every week. He's so handsome. I'm just taken aback by how handsome he is. And I didn't like him with long hair. But now, I think he's kind of handsome. It's like, no shit, he's a handsome fucking movie star. Chill
Every
out!
Every fucking scene, I was like, man, he fucking could be a great Luke Skywalker.
I was kind of thinking the same thing, too.
The whole series.
I almost, well, actually, Trace it like, well, did you know?
Yeah, the whole series, I was like, yeah, fuck, you do it. Do it. Be like Diesel Luke Skywalker. Like, this is... You know, I drew that comic years ago about ripped-ass tan Ryan Gosling
1994
being
Power of the Force Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, but now I'm like, this guy fucking, he looks like it. I think he's got the demeanor. Like, he's, like, soft-spoken. Like, I think he could really do the character justice. But I did really like Bucky's story. I liked his kind of trying to atone. What I don't like is that, like, black and gold arm, purely from a design standpoint.
Oh, how dare you!
I know. I love the silver.
It's held
arm
together with gum bands.
Gum bands and sauerkraut. You know, if you look on there, there's a 75. He is a big Mean Joe Green fan right back in the day. You know.
There ain't no star on it. It's a hypocycloid.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Because, you know what? That ain't made out of new vibranium. That's made out of steel.
It's made out of iron.
So, yeah. How about this? Do you feel... Before we do that.
Are we still joking?
No, we're not joking. We're talking about something that's sort of real. So, Matt, you wouldn't know this, but at the very end, you know, they have the end title sequence in every episode. It's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
At the end of this one, it said Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And I'm like, that's a bummer for Bucky because the entire series is about how he doesn't want to be the Winter Soldier anymore.
Oh, fuck. You're still the Winter Soldier.
He's still the Winter... Falcon gets to graduate, but you to something that he didn't really want to be, but you have to still be the Winter Soldier. Couldn't they have given him a bone?
Yeah.
Captain America and the White Wolf.
So Ed Brubaker was on Fat Man Beyond a couple weeks ago, and it's a really good listen because he turns over some stones and he kind of calls out Marvel and Disney for being like, yeah, I kind of got fucked in all of this, and they're doing all this stuff, and it's kind of like all, you know, mine and like the artists. Who's the artist that did all that?
Steve Epting.
It's all mine and Steve Epting stuff. Yeah, we don't really get anything. It's cool to see it. It's great to see it, but at the same time, I'm like, ah, that's kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into like more you know, detail and nuance about it. But one of the things he's like, he was looking back through like old like history stuff, and he was like, oh, found this Winter Soldier thing. He's like, oh, it sounds like a really cool name. I'll like make him the Winter Soldier, and I'm like, I don't want him to not be the Winter Soldier. I want him to reclaim the Winter Soldier because that name's just
take
so
back the
cool.
WS
Same
word.
With the silver fucking arm. Give him. I love the look of the silver arm because now he could be like the black arm. He could be wearing anything.
They got to get him some different tech because the Dora Milaje were like, we know how to control alt delete that shit. So he's got to get a different tailor.
Yeah, I want more Bucky coming out of this. I like that he's learning, he's healing, you know, he's really taking steps on this journey of coming out of who he was, but very selfishly, I just like the name Winter Soldier. I don't want him to lose it. No, don't tell me Summer Soldier.
No, that's not where I was
like,
going.
I like alliteration. No. But no,
I got you covered on both things. So what are we doing? We're on a boat with Sam. We're the Spring Sailor.
Mm. Fuck yeah, Matt's favorite new Disney Plus series, The Spring Sailor. I was down with all, like, I like seeing the downtime. So I was cool with seeing like all the fix up the boat stuff, and it was cool getting a sense of where Sam's from and what
Matt
he believes
hates
in.
Boat talk. Hates it.
No, I think I hate Winter Soldier and Falcon talk.
Maybe.
Well, Matt, to spare you any more pain tonight, why don't we
finish him?
Talk more Falcon and Winter Soldier? No, let's gracefully glide into outworld.
You don't want to give scores for
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. We're going to transition, but oh well.
Yeah, Matt, why don't you start first?
I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. We're working with something. 3.
All right.
It was lousy.
But Matt, I kind of, not that I think one final episode is going to give you like the 7-point swing, but I kind of want you to finish it just to, because you came so far, just get the, I think there's a lot of things that happened in this last episode that, you know, define each character a little bit more, bring them into a little more focus that may give you just a little more substance for this series.
Let me explain something. I think part of my frustration with this is a continuation of the downward trend that WandaVision set, which I feel like got progressively worse to a point where I think it ended objectively badly. And I think that this was objectively bad from start to, I didn't finish, but it was, I did not like it. I did not like WandaVision toward the end. This crap is not for me.
Yeah.
Will you watch Loki?
No.
Yeah. Well,
no,
like,
I'm not going to watch it. I'm
WandaVision
done.
WandaVision had had a real, we're doing this weird thing, you're not really going to know what it is. So it really had an in, it had its own language for, you know, the first so many episodes. But Falcon and Winter Soldier just, I feel like it fell on deaf ears. Like, my social media feed during WandaVision was, like, you couldn't escape WandaVision. But watching my Twitter feed through Falcon and Winter Soldier, it was like, is this show still on?
Yeah, I would agree with that. There was less hype, but maybe it was more normies watching it or something. I don't know.
I think WandaVision was much better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, and that's probably why. It was a better fucking show. By the end, not a whole lot better, but still, it was better.
Yeah, I feel that they went in two different paths. WandaVision started strong,
one
ended
was
shitty.
Good, one was bad.
Falcon and Winter Soldier started middling, and then by the end, really picked up steam for me. I give it a 7. I was really entertained by the end, to the point where I was like, fuck yeah, let's do season 2. Let's do it. Let's do Captain America 4. Let's do it. A place where I didn't think that I would get.
I'd also give it a 7. Like, I thought some stuff was really cool. I think I'm really invested in Bucky. I like the idea of his solitary life. You know, his best friend's gone. He's trying to rebuild all the horrible things that he's done. I think they announced Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie as Captain America, and I'm less interested in that as I am in what are we doing with Bucky now?
I'm sure he's going to be probably heavily involved in Black Panther 2, I would guess, if that's my guess.
Yeah.
He'll be in that.
Maybe he'll be the new Black Panther.
He could be. Look out.
All seriousness, didn't they even make the joke White Panther at one point in the show?
Like, honestly, in like functionality in the world, that would work. It would work. As him being
now that
like,
Chadwick Boseman's gone, maybe it would. Maybe this is the right way for them to go. I don't know if you could just because of like.
The what Black Panther, but I think Wakanda means more to people. I can speak because it means Wakanda as a nation and as an idea means more than one character being Black Panther.
Yeah, I think if it was anyone but Shuri, people would. Fucking riot. Like, I don't really
but I think Shuri's gonna be fucking Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like, so I think so.
Ironheart.
So we're gonna or maybe just Iron Lady. I don't know. But I think
we're
gonna
how successful Ironheart was in the comics.
Yeah, but I think that there was no real direction to it, right? Like Tony Stark still existed and with the movies, you're having a lot of these vacancies happen that are real because of contracts or people aging out or whatever. So if you can fill them with other things, I think that'll work better than in the comics whenever they're ageless.
You know, it's a very interesting dynamic versus like in the movies versus comics because movies are beholden to real time. Comics do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And yeah, characters are aging out, so now they're being forced to actually have to either recast, which they're not really doing. They're just letting this train move forward and letting characters age out and replace them with new ones. I'm very curious to see if this can maintain its popularity now that a lot of the fan favorites are getting phased out. What are the new, is it going to be the same? It's kind of like the WWF. Like, anytime I ever see anything about them, I'm like, who the fuck are any of these people?
True. But in the 80s, you had Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Yep.
And then there was for me, as a surface level viewer, there was a lull. And then in the late 90s, you had talents and personalities as big or bigger with The Rock and Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. And you feel like, oh, they'll never replace them. But maybe they will. Like, years ago, did we ever think that the Guardians of the Galaxy would be a viable, not just a property, but something that everybody would look at and be like, oh, yeah, Guardians movies are still around, too. You know, that's fine. They still have Spider-Man. And
True. I mean, there are some classic characters obviously still around, but it's certainly going to be interesting to see what happens as a lot of the classic characters kind of phase out. Spider-Man will probably be a relatively easy one to replace with Miles if you know they have to go there.
I mean, they're switching out Thor with Jane Foster.
And we'll see how that turns out.
And we'll see how permanent it is.
Yeah, I don't think they're Chris Hemsworth's done. Here's your new Thor for 3 movies.
Right. Yeah.
I think this feels more like a
one-off.
Love
or
and
something.
Thunder specific
we'll
thing.
We'll see also like how what's the reaction going to be like with the new Captain America? What's the reaction going to be like without Tony Stark? I mean, Robert Downey Jr., his charisma was so affecting that basically every Marvel character adopted his persona.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like, this works. Let's make everybody him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be worried with the... I'd be worried with the lineup that they were going to go in with prior to the pandemic and prior to pushing these shows back a little bit. But whenever I see a little bit of the effect of the shows, and even with over the weekend, I rewatched Endgame and Infinity War, and I was shocked how much I cared more about some of the other characters or some of the characters in the moment. Maybe I didn't care about as much just with the looking back on how the shows have progressed, how real time has progressed, how much I looked at Chadwick Boseman a little bit differently now that he's no longer going to be a part of the world. How I looked at Vision and Wanda as like in the moment I was looking at these characters, I was like, yeah, just rip the stone out of this useless character's fucking head. Who could ever care? And now I'm like, oh man, that dude, that's my guy right there. Vision, don't kill him. So I think that they've at least shown a ability to make people care a little bit more about characters that they formerly did not care about.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of characters we don't care about, Paul?
Anyone in Mortal Kombat, because I'm not a Mortal Kombat guy. I've never played Mortal Kombat. I've only seen it. I've never played Mortal Kombat. I've only watched
I've
never played it once. I've only watched friends play it.
Piece of fucking garbage.
I have a passing knowledge of some characters. As I almost said before we started recording, that the whole time I was watching the movie, I kept Googling, like, oh wait, who's this?
You're like, when's Chung Lee gonna fight?
I was like, no, I'm familiar with my Street Fighter lore, thank you very much. I was like, who's I can't even think of his name now, the guy with like the metal helmet.
Oh, Darth Vader. Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
I was like, who is this guy? And but is he has like a big robot head, but he has super speed.
Oh,
that's
Cabal.
Really weird. Cabal. Yeah, I was like, who is this fucking guy?
And he talks like he's from Yonkers.
I feel like every time they... Yeah.
He looked like a shitty cosplayer, didn't he?
He did.
I was like, every time they introduced a new character, I was like, I had to look them up and be like, is this a character or is it just for the movie?
Only one guy who was just for the movie, the main character.
Really? He wasn't...
Some of the bad
that,
guys
he
I
wasn't
were
like,
made up. Like the dude with the hammer? No?
No, that dude's a real guy.
No, it's a real guy.
Oh, who the fuck is that?
I don't know. He's from Mortal Kombat 69.
So, but I thought the main guy was like future Scorpion. He's going to get
you would
Hanzo's
think, right?
powers
yeah.
in the future.
That
like,
would
so
have been cool.
If they did a Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombatier, then he would be Scorpion.
The rise of combat?
Yes. Like that's what I thought through this whole thing.
Maybe, but for now he was just a guy with a shitty like tweed vest that fought one of the most powerful characters and just beat him with an uppercut basically.
Goro.
Yeah.
Prince Goro. Is he Prince Goro in the video game?
He is a prince. He was a prince in that movie too.
Yeah, he sure was. He soft was. Jaw though.
I mean, he also did get stabbed through the eye with whatever
with
fucking
a pointy baton.
Yeah. So let's talk about Mortal Kombat. How did we watch Mortal Kombat? Because there were two offerings. You could sit at home, or you could go into the arena with all the other combatants.
Combatants, I heard that K.
A.K.A. go to the movies. I'm assuming neither of you went to the movies.
No, and I have a feeling your story might be the thing that'll keep me from ever going to the movies again.
And nah, it wasn't all that bad.
It's like we've gotten spoiled almost to be like, oh, I can watch a movie without some piece of shit ruining it for me.
So, my wife and myself. My wife was really excited. She was like, hey, we should go to the movies. And I was like, hey, you know what? I want to go to the movies, even though I could sit here and do it and watch the movie on our screen and not be bothered and, you know, drink beer on the couch and watch people's spines get ripped out. Let's go to the movies.
we order our tickets and we go to our assigned seats and we sit down and we get our, we order our popcorn in advance. So we show up and they're like, do you have an online order? And we're like, yes, we do. And you're like, Sharply, right? And like, yeah, here's your fucking popcorn. Here's your fucking pop. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we go in and we sit down and we're sitting there and we're early because we're excited because we're outside of our house and not at work. So we're sitting there.
Is this on a weekday?
This was on Sunday.
Okay, it was on Sunday.
Yes. So we're sitting there, and there were a couple of people. There were more people than you would expect to be at the movies. And we have some people, and they're talking, and the trailers start, and they're talking a little bit, and Tracy immediately is like, are we going to have to administer theater
finish
justice?
Them?
Are we going to have to fatality these people, or what? And I was like, trailers are... free game. You can still talk through
That's
trailers.
Right. Everybody,
it's fine. Everybody knows that it's in the bylaws.
It's beautiful. It's instant movie reviews.
Yeah. So you can talk through the trailers, but once the trailers stop, and somebody shouts at any movie theater, somebody shouts Mortal Kombat, then you have to fucking shut up. Eventually, everybody calmed down. Everybody chilled out. There wasn't too much talking. But what was shocking? Mortal Kombat, for those that don't know, is an R-rated movie. There are a lot of swear words. There's lot of gore. No sex, right? I don't think so. No sex.
No sex.
But gore and swear words. A lot of pussy, a lot of fuck.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that. There were definitely 8-year-olds in the audience. I happened to talk to one after we were done in the bathroom and, peeing, not, weird stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
He came out and then kid came up to me and he was like, oh, I just saw Mortal Kombat. I'm like, I know, kid. I was shocked that your mother let you in there. I was like, oh, so, yeah, what was your favorite part? And I liked...
When Kano said cunt.
like a true fucking nerd, they're like, favorite part, I didn't like how they left us with a cliffhanger, like just skipped over favorite and went straight to what I hated. And I was like, kid, you could be a podcaster right now.
What was the cliffhanger?
The cliffhanger was Johnny Cage.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking knew.
Well, is that a cliffhanger? Or that wasn't a cliffhanger. That was just tease for what's coming next.
Well, shame on you, Sharply.
I mean, this kid was 8. They shouldn't have been at Mortal fucking Kombat. So I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, you sure? I was like, it wasn't too brutal for you? Like all the extreme death and murder? I'm like, no, I liked all that stuff. And I was like, cool. And then mom came out of the bathroom and was like, oh, we're pretty liberal.
Mom
feeling-
came out just... Blood drained from her face. Oh my god!
Mom came out.
My poor child.
Her poor child fucking was talking to me. So I think that she was horrified that I was sort of questioning her parenting, and she was like, "We're pretty liberal, It's okay. We'll take the kid to see the movie. Blah blah blah. Whatever." It was brutal. Do you think that what was so? Then I think about this. At what age did you watch your first, like, really bloody, like, horror movie?
Like Nightmare on Elm Street?
I mean, whatever. How young were you when you watched something that was definitely not for you?
I was probably about 8.
8? Yeah, jeez. I think I was 10 or 11. And I know that I'm picking nits here.
I distinctly remember watching A Nightmare on Elm Street with my brother.
Tidal Wave.
And my dad was like, parent of the year, you guys probably shouldn't watch that because you're gonna have nightmares. Mm-hmm. We're fine.
And you guys were like, on Elm Street?
Well, I remember going to bed that night. My brother and I shared a bedroom. And we still do. And we were terrified. We thought Freddy was in the closet. We couldn't sleep. So we had to, I think we told my parents or something. I don't remember exactly what made us calm down, but we were both really scared that night. But in the moment, we weren't. We thought it was like the coolest thing in the world. But yeah, Ian, I was young for that. And then that probably kicked off my love of horror. Watched like all the Friday the 13th around kind of the same time and continued really till this very day.
I think I had to have been around the same age. I had to have been around 8, and I was at a sleepover at Jason Hamilton's. And
how many He-Man figures did you steal from him?
Zero. Zero. Like, I think we watched something like, I don't know, like Back to the Future, something real
innocuous. Ooh, something real scary.
First. That's and then, the like, once it was, likes. Then once like, it was bedtime,
ooh, peeping toms.
Then once it was bedtime, it was like, all right, we're gonna put on Hellraiser.
Oof,
that's,
and I was,
that's like, a brutal ride.
I was like, excuse me, and like at the time, like I was like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Because I had been to, I had been to West Coast Video. I had dared myself to walk up and down the horror aisles, and What better part of being an 8-year-old than was walking up a video store horror aisle and looking at all the VHS covers?
You mean Suncoast Video?
We did have Suncoast, but we had West Coast as well, where I grew up.
Oh, that was like a rental place, West Coast.
Yes.
Suncoast was a store.
Oh yeah, Suncoast was like, here's where you can get your Darth Vader maquette or wherever. But yeah,
okay.
Video rental place.
Got it.
Walking
Got
up
it.
And looking at all the VHS covers. I knew Hellraiser wasn't, like, I didn't want to fuck with Hellraiser. So I think that's probably the first thing that I saw that I didn't really need to be seeing.
I don't think I watched Hellraiser until I was like 16 years old. Like, I knew better. I was like, I don't think that this is for me. The first thing that I watched.
Well, I think I'm pretty well adjusted now. So
yeah, it didn't affect us at all. I was, I think I was 10, and my dad essentially was like, "All right, you're old enough. We're gonna watch Terminator, all the alien movies, Predator. We're gonna do the sci-fi horror stuff." And within like a 2-week period, I think I watched all of that stuff. So I was like 10, 11, somewhere around there. So I was a little bit older than this kid that I talked to over the weekend. I would say that Mortal Kombat is a little bit more brutal than, say, like Alien. Alien's scarier, but for sheer brutality. And maybe that's what...
It's the way that it's presented,
yeah,
though,
maybe.
That matters. Like, it's... It was presented in a totally, like, not...
Cartoon death.
Yeah, like, it wasn't scary or scarring in any way. It kind of desensitizes you to it because it doesn't have, like, people screaming as they're dying. It's not hostile. It's not like Eli Roth directed Mortal Kombat. So, whatever.
And
I say show it to a 5-year-old.
Let them figure it out. And when I think about it also, I'm like, this kid's here because they are a fan of these games. I guarantee that these games are as brutal, if not more,
they're more
over and over and over again than this movie
was. There's more blood, but it's more cheese ball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
On paper,
it seems a little bit like, huh, but yeah. Like, is it really? I don't know.
I wasn't being that judgy, but whenever I was sitting in the theater and I heard kids, then there wasn't just one kid. There were multiple children
cheering
at this film maybe it wasn't so much that. It was like so much of the fuck, so much of the pussy. I was like, man, these kids.
It would have been funny if there was a hardcore porno like sequence in it and then like looked at their mom to be like, oh, what do you think of that?
I had that thought. I was like, would you take your kids to
a hardcore porn?
Yes, I would.
An R-rated,
well, if it's
porno.
No worse than the porn they're watching on their PlayStation.
Mom,
PlayStation porn? Wait, what porn is there on your PlayStation?
Mom, I play Leisure Suit Larry all the time. Well, I guess we can take them to see it. I'm not being a Nazi about fucking movies. I'm just saying it surprised me. Maybe it was just my return to the theater, but I was like, holy fucking shit.
I've been in movies where it felt like there was an absurdly like large amount of kids that shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
I think I saw the latest Rambo movie, very, very bloody
very
and
violent.
Gory.
Yeah.
Small children, a family brought in like 19 kids. I was like, how many do you have, people? And they brought in the entire clan. And I just was like, are you sure you entered the right theater?
I was, this is another is me this... talking to a kid story. I was, I was power washing my driveway. My neighbor, I share a driveway with my neighbor. My neighbor's son came out and started talking to me the other day. He started talking to me. He was wearing a comic book t-shirt and he started talking to me. He doesn't know who I am and what kind of psychopath I am. So he started talking to me and he started talking a little bit. He started talking a little bit about Spider-Man. I was like, oh yeah, Spider-Man. Oh, I think he's pretty cool too. Hey kid, I had a fucking Spider-Man wedding. I think I am Spider-Man half the time. He started talking and then I was being real vague and he started talking and he was like, I really like Venom. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, Venom's cool. Did you see the movie? I saw it and it had Carnage. And I was like, oh, Cletus Cassidy, right? Yeah, yeah, Cletus Cassidy. I was like, are there any other Marvel characters that you like? And he's like, I like Ghost Rider. I was like, oh, the Spirit of Vengeance, huh? Goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, do you like the car or do you like the bike? I like the car. And I sprayed him with the fucking power washer.
Get like off my flying. Driveway.
He went flying like 30 feet.
But the real basis of the story is he started talking to me about Mortal Kombat. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I like Sub-Zero. I like Scorpion. He's like, on the new games, they have, like, the alien from the Aliens movie. I was like, isn't that too scary for you, kid? And he was like, no, I like it. I was like, when I was your age, that really scared me real bad. It doesn't. And his dad came out. He's like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm like, I must be the parent shamer because I don't have children. So, like... I don't know. He was like, no, it's fine. It's just the alien. I was like, yeah, that scared the shit out of me whenever I was a little kid. I don't know.
What scared?
In Mortal Kombat, or the alien from Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. Whenever I watched the Alien or Predator, it scared me. I thought it was scary. But clearly, it's just a cartoon character on a video game that you can, you know, like... And he was sitting there telling, this kid's name's Logan, by the way, also. And Logan's sitting there telling me, he's like, and when you capture somebody and you do the fatality, they have a chest burster. And I was like, holy fucking shit.
There's probably some shit in SpongeBob that makes this kid shit its pants.
Mm-hmm. Predator was never scary.
I thought Predator, the movie, was scary. Like, when the flayed and skinned people. Is scary. I thought that whenever it's Apollo Creed gets his arm cut off, right? I thought that freaked me out. I didn't like that. Uh-huh. And then I didn't like whenever the Predator actually
Carl Weathers.
I think Grief Karga, I think is his actual name. I'm sorry. but yeah, there's stuff about Predator that
I
freaked
just
me
remember
out.
Thinking, oh, it's so cool. It made me want to, like...
join the army.
Yeah, kind of. Like, we would play out in the woods, like, hide-and-seek and stuff, and we would wear camouflage.
You and Tidal Wave T would do the arm thing, and you'd be like, you son of a bitch.
We had, like, leftover Halloween makeup and, like, paint brown and green lines across our face, like in how they did in the movie.
Really? See, that man, that did not have that effect on me. I was
I just thought
I'm not
cool.
going to Columbia anytime soon.
So let's get into like the movie. Is there more to your theater
I'm
story?
I'm sorry.
What did you think of this thing? I mean, you hinted at it before with this main character that they introduced.
Didn't love that. You know what I did love, and holy shit, did I want to watch this movie instead? I loved the feudal Japan Scorpion Sub-Zero origin story. I fucking loved that. I thought that was really great. And it just, I don't know, for some reason it had me invested. The rest
cool.
of the way.
It was cool. It did a good job of setting the tone. I think the problem is they were not able to maintain that tone throughout the entire movie. Paul, what did you like about the Mortal Kombat movie?
I also liked the feudal Japan bits. I liked that.
So we all liked the first 9 minutes. We got out of the first 9 minutes. We like it. Thumbs up.
I liked that it seemed to be, pretty close to what the game is, down to some catchphrases and down to some of the music. So, like, I like that it was faithful to the original
what
product.
You know of, yeah?
Yes, to what I know of the original product. Because I, as I said, never played the game. All I know from the game is essentially what social media has told me and what you guys
have you
told
watched
me.
The 1995 classic.
I have seen
of the
people
same
play
name.
The original Mortal Kombat.
Did well, you do you know? Did you watch the movie?
Oh, that's no. Why would I do that?
How dare you?
Why would I do that? Is Van Damme in that?
No, that's Street Fighter.
Who's the
dummy?
Who's the main guy in Mortal Kombat?
Liu Kang, probably.
I was gonna say Raiden. Like who's what's his face from Highlander?
Yeah, it's Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert.
He's who?
He's Raiden
in the 95 one.
Boy, that's
and he had like long blonde hair. I remember seeing that and being like, "What the hell is this?"
I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
So is
some French dude is Raiden? What?
So, all right, so walk me through.
They're just like, who can we possibly get to find and put him in
walk
there?
Me
yeah,
through
Liu Kang's the main guy in the
Mortal Kombat
OG.
Lore here. So in the game, Raiden is just another character to pick from like everyone else. But in the movie, he's kind of like the spiritual guru of the good guys.
Yeah, pretty,
but,
all right, pretty much.
Who is, so is the spiritual guru of the bad guys a real character? Or is that someone just for the movie?
Why are you calling it the spiritual guru? What is that?
Because that's kind of what he is. He's like,
you mean
their
he's like the leader of the
Kenobi.
Good guys.
Can you just say the leader?
Sure.
The spiritual.
I think you're shortchanging him by calling him just the leader. He was much more than that.
Okay.
But
Shang
sure.
Tsung is the spiritual
guru.
Vestige of the villains.
Is that a real character?
Yeah, and he's you know, I'll suck your soul out, right? So he's a real guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's very good with calculations.
Is that the same guy? No shit. He's so old now.
I hated.
Boy, I don't
that
get
casting.
That. I don't get that reference.
Yeah. Oh man, do you even watch any
the calculations? What
you know,
is that?
Do you know the guy in the Dark Knight that was captured? That
Batman
went
to
Hong Kong to capture.
Who could ever care?
He eventually landed himself in Outworld. Outside.
I couldn't stop seeing the accountant from Batman, and I'm like, no.
I can't believe
not
that.
Shang fucking Tsung.
Man.
Horrible.
I cannot believe that. That's crazy.
Look good on the poster, by the way, but not in the movie. I thought it looked terrible.
I guess maybe as I was watching this, I should have put together some questions for my my Mortal Kombat fans here. But so Mortal Kombat it's really just a fighting game. Anyone versus anyone. There's no real factions. For the movie, they had to
put bad guys and good guys.
They have a storyline, especially in the newer games. But even way back in the original game, they still, I don't know if it was like in the instruction booklet, but they created some kind of storyline that started where Scorpion and Sub-Zero were in warring clans against each other. Sub-Zero was responsible
for... That's pretty, like...
I mean,
they
super fleshed it out, but it's like, these guys don't get along. That's essentially what the...
Isn't there a third guy in the video game with like the same look?
Reptile. Who is the guy that he was just a reptile.
Yeah, he was just
the
lizard man.
Smoke, who looks the same. There's a few of those ninja looking dudes. Noob
Sabat. Isn't that
right?
Doesn't Sub-Zero become Noob Sabat or something like that?
I don't know, but then there's a new Sub-Zero.
Oh wait, Sabat. He was in Street Fighter.
There you go.
There's a new Sub-Zero that shows up, I think, in the second game, and he's, like, a good guy.
Boo.
So, was there any character in this movie created just for this movie.
Yes.
Yeah, the main
character.
Just Cole Sprouse.
Yes, Cole Sprouse.
Cole Tucker.
Cole Smith.
Cole Young.
Cole Young.
Was it Cole Young?
I believe it's Cole Young.
God, how generic. How goddamn generic.
As soon as he was even on the screen, I was like, I hate him. And Hanzo's old. I'm not going to bury the lead here. He is my most hated cinematic character since Rose Tico.
Fucking finish him.
Wow.
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 Really? Most hated. He wasn't good.
Horrible. They then they have him kill Goro. How unearned. It was very
rough. He had help from his wife. He had help from his wife.
She's like, finish him.
No.
She's like, fuck this. Yes, and she hit him with an axe.
Her finishing move was fuck this.
Yeah, and I was like,
axe to the ribs.
And I was like, there are kids here, lady.
The whole time Ian was just thinking about the kids in the theater.
I sat there, I was clutching my pearls the entire time.
He was coming up behind them in their seat and putting his hands over their eyes.
I was like,
it's a wonder you didn't get busted for theater justice.
Potty mouths.
It was like when Rey defeated Kylo Ren at the end of The Force Awakens. Like, what? How does this, like, not, like, how do you defeat the biggest bad in the first movie? Like, you killed him. What are you doing killing Goro? Like, why did they not kill
Cole Young?
Like, nobody likes Cole Young. And I'm sorry, but if you're going to get Cole Young as your main character, please don't pick the guy that's taller than everybody else as your main character, who is towering over Raiden, who is supposed to be like...
You mean Cole Young?
Yeah. Who is supposed to be like a fucking 6 or 7 foot thunder god. Instead, he was like this little slight little guy, little wee little thing. The only thing I ever saw smaller than Raiden was the guy they got to play Liu Kang. What was happening with the casting of this movie?
See, I thought Liu Kang was fine. Like, Liu Kang doesn't need to be like a big towering guy.
Are you Liu Kang or Lil Kang?
Gotcha, bitch. So, but I think I'm on the same page with Ian, even though I don't know these characters as intimately as you guys.
I'm going to agree with Ian, but I don't know anything.
Like, I think there can be a good height mix, and I think from what I got out of the movie, Liu Kang's spirituality and his powers, like, I don't think he needed to be a big fucking monster of a guy. I think it worked better for him to be just have more internal power.
Who?
Liu Kang.
Liu Kang.
It wasn't the most egregious offense, for sure. I do think some of the casting was pretty legit. Much of it was really bad, though. And I think Liu Kang was on the bad side. But really? compared to Cole Young, who you could have cast almost anybody better than that non-charisma loser. I thought Shang Tsung calculations, not good.
I'm blown away that that's the same actor.
I thought Raiden, terrible, terrible casting.
I mean, like, why?
Why was Raiden terrible? Yeah. Well, Raiden's supposed to be the spiritual
Zen master,
guru.
Guru.
not Goro.
Yeah, but so what? The spiritual Goro. So, yeah, but why wasn't that actor?
He's like the leader, the thunder god. He's supposed to have an imposing presence. Granted, this probably was a slight step up from Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert was so bonkers nuts that I'm like, well, at least I got somebody that's Asian. Holy smokes.
That's your baseline. At least he's Asian.
He was such a petite little thing. There was nothing, there was no imposing nature to him whatsoever. I just felt like he was, many of the characters felt
I don't
miscast.
Know, man. Maybe I'm just not as connected to the property, but I don't think I don't think he needs to be big to put that power on
screen. He didn't have
presence
either. He didn't have presence.
And maybe like that's the problem. He had no, like, he had no definitive...
Like, if you look up Raiden on Google, you're going to see some cool artwork where you just see this, like some, like this figure that has presence. Like it's in the eyes and the shadowing and, you know, you're kind of looking up at him. And there was none of that in this movie. I don't think this director, you know, is that kind of a director that's kind of thoughtful in those types of ways. No offense, Simon, whatever your name is. But, you know, this definitely felt like a low budget kind of, I mean, the talent across the board was not of the highest caliber. It was obvious. Everything from the writing to the acting to the directing.
Right? You really didn't like this movie.
I didn't say that, Paul. We didn't get there yet.
Well, yeah, like I'm not leading you down your final.
That was a leading question,
but it just sounds like I'm not hearing any positivity about this movie from you. Did you like anything about it?
I did. Yeah, I liked the spectacle of some of it. I thought we unanimously agreed the first 9 minutes were quite good. I think that generally
feudal combat.
I think that generally. Sub-Zero with a K was really cool. I wish that as cool and a badass as he was, that there would have been somebody higher on the food chain that felt even more threatening. Like, the only reason why Shang Tsung or Goro were more threatening is because we have that built-in knowledge that they're supposed to be, but they didn't prove it or show it.
Matt, I have no built-in knowledge about any of these characters. The only reason Goro was threatening is because he was a fucking monster with four arms.
That'll do it.
That got beat by nobody.
But, like, I don't know, like, that when you look at all the artwork of Raiden, it's from the ground level, and he looks gigantic, and Shang Tsung is this other huge character. Like, I don't know any of that. Like, I look at both these characters when I watch this movie, and I'm like, oh, these guys don't need to be towering monsters because they could snap their fingers and fucking break your neck immediately.
They don't have to be towering monsters. I think they just need to have some kind of presence, and I think they both lacked it, especially the dude that played Raiden. But, boy, it was so difficult.
He seemed kind of soft.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Quit playing devil's advocate.
I'm not playing devil's advocate because you keep going back to height and the size of these characters.
I keep going back to presence.
I thought Shang Tsung was fine. Like, I thought he was, like, for what I got from that character, he was fine.
I thought it was comically stupid, and I kind of appreciated it at the same time, how, like, Shang Tsung was just sitting on a throne at the end of, like, some random, like, pier that sticks out over nothing. Sits there. It's like, that's what you do. When you're evil, you just sit on a throne until bedtime.
See, like, I saw that.
You have
like,
a bedtime when you're evil?
Are
you dictated by such laws?
I don't know. I wonder what his bed looks like. Like, it looked so rigid and hard.
It's probably on the other side of the pier.
I watched
it's just
that,
a bed on the opposite direction
and
of
I'm
the
like,
game.
And I'm like, oh, this must be part of the game where he's on this throne, so that's why it's here. Like, I wasn't watching it like, how does this work practically for him when he's getting his morning toast?
He has, like, avocado soul toast, and he spits the souls of his...
Sucks the avocado pit out.
Yeah, yes, he does. So you didn't like it, Matt.
No, that seems to be the running narrative, but I wouldn't say that exactly. Or maybe I didn't. I don't know yet.
It's okay. We still have some room for you to figure it out.
There was some spectacle that I quite enjoyed a lot. I thought seeing certain things like Jax getting his arms, you know, frozen and then ripped off was pretty cool. Getting his new ones. And I also liked that he was no match for Sub-Zero, which was cool. It's like, okay, Sub-Zero is like this kind of higher level fighter, which I thought was interesting.
Are they ranked that way in the game?
Sub-Zero is a fan favorite.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
So they're
bad,
going
bad
to...
guy fan favorite.
Well, in the original, if you look at like the storyline material, but in the newer ones, he is like more of a good guy, whereas Scorpion's more of like an anti-hero type.
That's what I hear.
What's Sub-Zero's catchphrase?
Get over here.
I thought Scorpion was get over here.
Sub-Zero doesn't have a catchphrase. Oh, right, he's just like,
and what's Jax? It's cold outside. Because didn't he say it at some point?
Jax, I don't think, has something, but he said, I did 7 tours, motherfucker.
There are a lot of, like, general catchphrases. So when Kano pulls Reptile's heart out, Kano wins. Like, anybody can win. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So he was just
and
using
was
a
like perfect
flawless victory. Flawless victory. Don't. Whatever. I won't let you
just... Perfect fighting there, chum.
Said. the hat.
I'm here to learn, you fuck.
The
faces.
Hat split the demon, bisected the demon, yeah. and it was like cool fighting, bro. I right in the kisser.
I was really happy with what was his name, Kang Lao.
Kung Lao.
Kung Lao.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what really sold me on him was when Kano was talking about how you get different powers, and it's like a box of chocolates. He's like, sometimes you get fire, sometimes you get ice, sometimes you get Frisbee hat. And that was really fucking funny.
Kano
I
had
a lot
some
of his
killer
lines.
Lines
were really funny.
Yeah, from what I understand, that actor is an improv person. So a lot of the stuff that landed that was funny that Kano said, that actor just... Rift and
yeah.
made it up
I
on
thought
the spot.
A lot of that stuff was really funny, but it probably accidentally endured me to Kung Lao, because then I was like, all right, let's like I'm into this guy now. He's big, strong, silent type. What's he gonna do with the frisbee hat? And then he did some cool shit with the frisbee hat.
I feel like the I forget what the that demon's name is, that fighter's name is.
Oh,
that
Nitara.
Yeah, but I feel like that was the coolest kill for me.
Oh, the spinning hat?
Yeah, the hat hat
was
blade.
One of the only few fatalities.
The kids
that were...
loved it.
Yeah, they did. The kids are
going to
love it.
Well, Kano's pulling out your heart. That is specific to Kano, right?
Is that his power in the game? He's got a laser eye?
Yeah, he's got like half a metal face, laser eye, and will pull your heart out. So I thought that was cool that they did his fatality. I am bummed that if you're doing a Mortal Kombat movie, man, you gotta like Sub-Zero, you gotta pull somebody's fucking spine out. Like that's his thing.
Yeah, there's some very famous iconic ones that have kind of really transcended the series as it has gone on. I was glad to see they did the big fire dragon for Liu Kang, because I feel like that's one of the really famous ones.
The scorpion fire breathing, but I wish he would have. This is me being nitpicky, but when he was like, "Remember my face," I wish he would have pulled his face off, and you know, and then did the fire thing.
Oh, and had a skull for
because that's what he does in the game. Is he, you know, he has a skull for a face,
right? I mean, it was. It started to burn off a little bit.
Yeah, I said, I'm being nitpicky, but I wish he would have been like, remember my face, and he pulls his fucking face
off. Ian, what was your favorite part of the movie? Was it the very beginning, or was there something later that worked for you?
The very beginning was my favorite, but then I also like the final fight between Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I'm big ninja guy here. Love a fucking ninja.
You know,
so I like that fight between the two of them.
I would agree, and this kind of brings up a point that I had made a while back, and I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine the other day.
I don't remember talking to you yet the other day.
I was going to make the same joke.
I know. I had to beat you to it. That's why I stumbled on it.
Basically, like, I have maintained that there are certain musical themes that can, like, transcend... you know, like a movie series or whatever that are just associated with the brand and not like a particular era or something. And I've made the argument like the Superman theme. That's Superman's theme. Yep. That is not That is not the Richard Donner Superman theme. It's Superman's theme. When you hear it, you say, oh, that's Superman's music. You don't say, oh, that's Christopher Reeve's music.
Correct.
So I think that this movie, Mortal Kombat, illustrated it quite well, that there is the Mortal Kombat music that was introduced in 1995 with that movie. And, you know, as the movie's going along, you can hear like little tiny hints of the melody that's trying to break out. But finally, when Scorpion shows up and throws the Scorpion thing, then they fucking played it and it's full fanfare. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm a big music guy here, as you know. Ian's a big ninja guy. When we team up, unstoppable.
I believe Ian's a big ninja guy, Dan.
I am. Ugh. Absolutely.
But I loved that they resurrected the music and didn't, you know, shy away from it, because I feel like that has become...
From the first movie.
From the first movie.
But it's iconic the brand.
And the brand has inherited it into the video games. I don't know if it's in the actual games, but it's definitely in the trailers for the Mortal Kombat 11, the latest game. They used it. So I was so, like, kind of fanboy geeking out when that moment happened. To me, that was, like, the best part. Mm-hmm. It was certainly brought down because Cole Young had to be a part of that. Like, why can't we just get Scorpion versus Sub-Zero? Why do we have to get some made up for the movie character to ruin it?
Couldn't this have just been Scorpion Begins, and now that Scorpion's in hell, his powers transfer to Cole Young, and Cole Young is the new Scorpion going forward?
No.
I don't know.
No, the whole point is he's dead, and he's not like a living soul anymore.
Matt, I had vaguely similar opinions about the music, because like there were a handful of times where it was like the, and I was like, man, this is so out of place. But then I was like, oh wait, this is perfectly in place. Mm-hmm. Because this is what this music was made for. And I was like, yeah, this fucking works. Like, if this wasn't in here, I'd probably be disappointed, even based on, you know, my very loose knowledge of the brand, like, that hit some of those music things, and I'd be like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. I liked it. I thought it was cool. Like, I'm also not beholden to a lot of the lore, mythology, or characters, so, I was just like, yeah, show me some of this stuff. I Google, oh, is this a real character? What does he do? And I'm like, yeah, all this seems to fucking track close enough.
That one of the biggest surprises for me was I really liked Cabal, even though his costume looked like kind of shitty cosplaying, not even like good cosplaying, but it like looked like paper mache. It was so bad looking, but I liked that character. I liked kind of,
yeah, that's crazy. I thought he was fucking terrible.
I liked him. I don't know. Like,
I thought his voice was really bad. Like, something about the voice was really bad.
I agree. It was like kind of weird and cheesy, but like somehow it fit for me. It felt like sort of appropriate for this brand. And I was glad to see them kind of go a little like deep into the kind of the
Mortal Kombat bench.
Went deep on the bench. Not too deep, obviously.
Because Cabal's like a Mortal Kombat 2 character, I think so.
I don't even I think he was a little later than
that. Oh, really?
Maybe three. Okay. But, and then obviously the tease with Johnny Cage at the end when he's like, I'm going to Hollywood. It's like, no, you, I don't want you in the next movie. I have determined I want you to suffer. I want Mortal Kombat 2 to resemble Iron Eagle 2, where the main character gets murdered in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Is Johnny Cage a beloved Mortal Kombat character?
Yes. He's a main character. If Mortal Kombat, 'cause I looked him up, has main characters.
And he doesn't seem very awesome.
He's a core character.
He's in the top four, probably.
Is he like big, hot shot Hollywood boxer Movie star? I don't even know his story.
Yeah. They wanted to get Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he was like, no. And they're like, all right, we don't
make
care.
Up a character.
And then he was like, I will be in Street Fighter the movie.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is French now.
Oh, well, he's
Belgium.
Belgium, which is close to
Belgian.
France. Which is their accent is very close to French.
Yeah, they're Eastern European. I liked that Cabal had. He was like kind of a big robot helmet, but his power
is not in Eastern Europe, buddy.
Belgium?
Yes.
Where's France?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at Western Europe. Sorry. I liked the weird. The weird break of Cabal being a kind of a robot cyborg, but his power was super speed. I was like, none of your powers work with what you look like, but this is bonkers enough that it works for me. Yeah. Is that what he is in the game? He's cyborg with super speed?
Yeah, I mean, all the characters are pretty fast anyway in the games, but yeah, he can kind of do that weird teleporting type thing. So, is there anything else? Like, do we like the fights in the movie? Were they good? I thought they were pretty well done.
Good.
I think when it felt more like really good martial artists fighting against each other is when I think it was at its best. I feel like a game or a movie like this should just embrace the fact that these guys are like really good at fighting. I mean, its roots are actually in old-fashioned kung fu movies. I mean, the whole premise is a riff on Enter the Dragon, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird. The whole
Bloodsport. I thought that that's what they were doing in the game, which was they were trying to make a Bloodsport game, and they couldn't secure the rights, so they were like, all right, fuck it. We're just going to do our own thing.
Did they go to an island in Bloodsport?
They don't go to an island, but it is a contest of champions, right?
I mean, who knows? Maybe this is a theme that's repeated
over. I didn't hear
one
kumite in this movie.
I believe that is the genesis of Mortal Kombat, is that it was supposed to be Bloodsport, hence the Johnny Cage character that was also supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme. And then somehow it got kiboshed, and they're like, well, we're just going to make this game
anyway.
Wasn't
he also Guile?
That's why he was Guile, because he was like, I don't want to do this. And then Mortal Kombat was sort of a hit, and they were like, I'll be in Street Fighter. Fuck it. Make me the American character. It'll be fine. I'm from the Eastern Bloc. It's fine.
But in the game, the storyline was that Liu Kang wins the tournament and he's kind of like the Bruce Lee character,
yeah.
which again makes me kind of think more mm-hmm. Enter the Dragon, but
yeah.
maybe it's a mishmash of like,
I'm sure it
the,
is.
You know,
yeah.
what was it? Daniel Boone and Ed something, the creators of Mortal Kombat.
I don't know. They do say their names whenever Jax is talking to, fucking player one, whatever his name is, I forget.
Cole Young. Jesus fucking Christ, that character.
He mentions a mashup of the guy's names. He was like, oh, you fought blah, 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 blah. And it's like a mashup of the creator's two last names.
I see. I want to rename Cole Young Rose Tico. That's his name from now on.
Rose Tico. The ultimate insult.
Yeah. Or Cole Tico, at the very least.
Cole Tico.
Paul, what do you give this movie?
I gave it a 7.
Wow, it was as good as The Winter Soldier and The Falcon.
Yeah, Matt, we've talked lately that it doesn't take a lot these days to entertain me. Just entertain me. Just keep me barely interested for 2 hours, and I'm in. I watched the Ghibli movie.
So it kept you barely interested.
There have been very few things that I've wanted to turn off. This was not one of them.
Okay.
Like, I think that's probably my new bar. If I can't possibly get through another minute of this movie, that's the bar. But yeah, I watched the whole thing. Like, I watched it in two installments.
It sounds like you have a 2-point scale.
It's either yes or no at this point.
Right.
Like, yeah, sure, this was fine. Like, Mortal Kombat was cool. Like, what was really dumb was the whole, how they have to tie in the whole, like, combat conceit. And, like, there's these, like,
I mean,
crazy...
they don't. They essentially skipped the premise of the game, which is a tournament. They're like,
Guess what? We're going to not do the tournament. Let's train
game.
For the tournament. All movie have montages and everything. You don't need that tournament.
But
at the
that's
end.
Like, it's like all built into the backstory where, like, you know, they get to, like, the bad guy's place and he's like, we won the tournament the last 9 or 10 times. We won't lose, so fuck it. We're just going to attack Earth. Well, why didn't you fucking do that all the time? You're the bad guys. You should have fucking had this won a billion
fucking
years ago.
Because of the prophecy, dude.
But yeah, like, they have to set up all this stuff. And, like, I like the nod to the hat of how silly this is when, you know, Blade is walking Cole through all the stuff. And he's like, wait a second. This is called Mortal Kombat. And, like, it's a tournament. And she's like, yeah, but it really means something. He's like, this sounds dumb.
I like when he was like, they spelled combat wrong.
And like, I felt the same way. I was like, all right, we're like,
I laughed and then
hat.
I was like, fuck you. You're not a real character, you piece of shit.
I'm like, we're you know, tipping our hat a little bit to how fucking goofy this turning a video game into a 3-part act movie is. I get it. But I was entertained. Like, I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't balk against very much. So yeah, 7.
Ian?
It was entertaining, but I give it a 6. It was fine. I give it a 6 mainly on feudal Japan combat. Love that shit. Thought it was great. Really good way to set up the movie. And also tie my investment throughout the movie. I'm like, when's Scorpion gonna come back and wreck some shop?
The whole fucking movie.
The whole time
I was like, I didn't want to look it up because I didn't want to spoil anything. But the whole time I was like, wait, isn't there a yellow Sub-Zero? Who is this guy? And like, I didn't want Cole to turn into that guy and have it spoiled for me. Mm-hmm. So like, I didn't look it up. And then like the very end, I'm like, oh yeah, like with the throwing thing and he pulls it back, mm-hmm. like the scorpion tail. I was like, oh fuck. I knew this the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole premise, like, keeping Scorpion's bloodline alive, for what? He gets his vengeance from beyond the grave. Like, there's no reason to carry on that bloodline. There is no fucking Scorpion, son of Scorpion. Not a thing.
That's an excellent point because...
just pointless.
Like, I mean, it goes into Much what like I Rose said Tico. Is that Cole should have become Scorpion and got the power of the bloodline, but he doesn't. His
he gets, like
uber
a vest.
Granddaddy just comes back and fucks him up.
What's his power is kind of like the Black Panthers, right? He absorbs beat down and then gives it back out. So fucking dumb.
Very dumb.
I legitimately hope this character dies in the making of. Like, they're going to kill him.
Holy shit.
That was a Freudian slip.
I wish death upon the actor.
Up, no, I hope that the character is... do they have
written
to
off the movie?
Do they have
not
to bring
murdered.
Him in because he was like, I'm going to Hollywood and I'm going to bring Johnny Cage into this franchise? Can Liu Kang go instead? You know, it's Cole Young's, you know, brother's wedding. He couldn't make it.
Man, I was really upset that Kung Lao died.
Yeah.
You got to kill some of these characters. So there's a deep bench.
What's the likelihood that we're going to get a Mortal Kombat 2 with a K?
I think probably pretty good.
Pretty high.
I spelled 2 with a K. Pretty high?
Yeah.
Like I saw that this like blew the doors off of Godzilla vs. Kong's
I don't think it blew the doors off. It made like 25 million.
It beat it.
Like that's
it beat it in like weekend views for HBO's.
I'm talking dollar. Box office. Oh, so
we're talking different things.
Yes. So yeah. Box office, 25 mil. You know, it's about. It seems like these movies make about half or a third of what they normally would. Do you think that Mortal Kombat probably would have made 75 mil?
Yep.
So, you know, 25 mil over the weekend, pretty good. I think that they will green light a second one.
And yeah. the HBO numbers seem to be much better than Godzilla vs. Kong.
The
so
second one...
It would seem that, yeah, like, number two is in order.
If that's... I mean, Godzilla vs. Kong did quite well, too. So, if this is blowing the doors off of that, then of course there's going to be a sequel. Yeah.
And these are sort of, like, not to throw shade on these two movies, but they're not, like, the mega blockbusters that Warner Brothers has its sleeve.
These are the movies that either come out in April, as it did, or August.
Yeah.
Like, they're not May through July prime time, so summer movie going time.
It is going to be interesting to see what, like, so how does Dune do?
When's that come out?
August, I think.
Okay.
And how does Suicide Squad do? Those will be interesting.
Suicide Squad's going to do okay. I don't think modern audiences give two shits about something like Dune, which is really a bummer because I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, it looks real stylish. Looks cool. Yeah.
I'm going to rate Mortal Kombat. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. What do they call that? Time expired in Mortal Kombat. I don't know when you have a draw. There was a lot I liked. There was a lot I didn't like.
See, I think by my scale, you should give it way lower. Because 5 is like, yeah, that was a movie. But you have actively shat on this for, like, the last 45 minutes. I feel like this should get, like, a 2 for you. 5 is fine. It's okay.
Well, Paul...
It's the middle of the scale.
I'm aware of that. That's why I gave it a 5.
Let him give his fucking rating. All right,
Ian. Holy shit. Paul Matt, wants, as you were.
Well, Paul wants to give my ratings for me. One's not enough. He has to give 2. Paul, what do you want my rating to be? You want it to be a 2? It's a 2. Ian, it's a 2.
Okay, cool.
Mark it down.
I got it.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Max out.
We'll see you next time.